The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin, as always, with our impact segment each hour. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I do have a guest returning. Pastor Ray Bentley is the founding pastor of Maranatha Chapel in San Diego. He's author of a number of books. He is a host of his own daily radio show, and if I'm not mistaken, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, he has a brand new book out that's book three of the Elijah Chronicles. It's called The Cyrus Mandate. Ray Bentley, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Ray, how are you?
I am doing great, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm okay. All things considered, I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
It is good to hear your voice. You are the voice of reason in the midst of chaos these days.
Well, then, if that is true, and I would debate that another time, that is evidence that God can use anybody.
Well, he can, and he does. But, yeah. You know, you're highly favored. You're a son of God, and you've got an opinion, and you're right 99% of the time. So I'm good with that.
Amen. Talk a little bit, am I right? This is book three of the Elijah Chronicles. Talk, first of all, what are the Elijah Chronicles?
Okay, yes, this is book three. It's a series that I have written along with co-author Bodhi Taney. I know a lot of people will remember Bodhi Taney along with her husband Brock Taney. They wrote the Zion Chronicles. They've written about 70 novels and sold about 35 million copies. She is Jewish background believer, and she's written all these great kind of historic novels about Jewish believers in the first century, then, you know, with the rebirth of Israel, the Holocaust, and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, God just kind of brought us together. I'm into the Bible, and I'm into prophecy, and into a lot of things, you know, seeing the world getting ready for the coming again of the Lord. So when I met Bodhi, I was like, wow, I just love her writing, and she's such a brilliant, anointed storyteller. So I reached out to them and said, hey, look, I've got this idea of a lot of things that I think are kind of converging right now prophetically. Would you guys be willing to, you know, kind of bring together our talents? I'll provide the prophecy part. You write a story, Bodhi, and Brock, you do the research, and let's put it together, see what we come up with. So we did, and now we're into this series that's fascinating called the Elijah Chronicles. So the last days, you know, those are the days of Elijah. And there's this young man named Jack Garrison who's, you know, like mid-30s, graduate from Baylor, was a Christian believer. But then, you know, he got to where he went through a great tragedy, and he kind of lost his faith, as many people do. And he's kind of lost his faith in the Bible, you know, like, I don't believe in old men with beards walking in the deserts, having visions of, you know, things happening in 2020. But amazingly, he gets called into this peacekeeping committee, gets sent by, you know, this committee over into Israel. And while he's there, he starts seeing visions and having appearances by this enigmatic character called Eliyahu, which is the Hebrew way of saying Elijah. And let's just say he goes on a journey of discovery where he's taken to prophecy in the past, present, and future, where he has this great awakening, aha moment, like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It literally, everything I threw out the window is actually happening beneath my feet. So that's kind of the story. And then he gets assigned this very extremely attractive young Jewish agent, police agent named Bet Diekman that's assigned to make sure, you know, as an American, he gets taken care of and is protected. And let's just say a romance begins. So anyway, we're on our third story called The Cyrus Mandate, which is so pertinent for what is happening right now. I think people are going to love it. Everybody that's been reading it has said this is the best book in the whole series so far. Everything that's happening right now in the Middle East, in the world, geopolitically, the pandemic, the chaos politically, economically, everything is in there in this book. So it's a fun read, a lot of history, a lot of prophecy, and I think people will love it.
Two questions. The one is a simple one. The second has to do with what you just made mention of. For those that, kind of like me, I'm kind of a control freak. Book three, my thought is, how many books are there actually going to be in the Elijah Chronicles?
that's a great question. There's going to be five.
Okay.
You're right in the middle. And by the way, if people just want to get this and read it, you know, you can go on Amazon.com and get it and have it sent to you in a couple of days. And you don't need to have read books one and two.
Right.
You read book three on its own as a story. It will blow your mind. But I am telling you, once you have read book three, you're going to want to go back and find out where this story got started, and you'll have a great time.
Which is in part why I asked how many, because I was going to say, well, do you have to read one and two? You just answered that. So here's the other question that's much more pertinent. So these, in a sense, are fiction stories, but you say this one, clearly, the Cyrus Mandate, is about today and everything that's going on today.
Yeah.
Can you espouse and share a bit more about what you mean by that? Maybe talk about some specifics of what's going on today.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And I'll start off with why call a book the Cyrus Mandate? Well, there's a lot of people that are not aware that in Israel there's actually been minted several coins called the Cyrus coin. And you can get them. In fact, I've got two of them. They were given to me by my congregation because I told people about it. I said, hey, you can Google this. You can go online. If you want, you can buy one. And I said, the crazy thing is, this is not some, you know, this is not Christian. This is not some prophecy, you know, site where somebody's trying to, you know, put headlines to the Bible. This is a legitimate deal where Jewish people have made and minted a coin, both you know, gold-plated and silver, and on the front of it is a picture of you know, the relief of Cyrus, this character in the Bible from 2,500 years ago. But right next to him is the profile of our current president, Donald Trump. I know that's, you know, politically, like, oh no, you mentioned Donald Trump, you can't mention him. But hey, he's our current president. We got an election coming, so I want people to say, what in the world are you talking about? They've got a coin in Israel that's got a picture of Cyrus 2,500 years ago, and a picture of our president, and these are Jews. And guess what? On the other side of the coin is a picture of the temple. So knowing that, this is something that's very current there, and I'll just put it simply like this. There are many religious, let's say, Jewish people who their opinion of our president is that he is a modern-day Cyrus. So in Isaiah chapter 44, you know, in the last verse and into 45, here's what happens. Isaiah the prophet, you know, which is one of the most incredible prophecies in the entire Old Testament, he made a prediction, a prophecy, where God divinely spoke to him and said, hey, there's going to be this character named Cyrus, and here's what it says. Here's what God says. Cyrus is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Now, this is an ancient, pagan, idol-worshipping, not nice guy that God calls out through the prophet Isaiah and says, you're going to be my servant. I've chosen you. In fact, in the next chapter, he actually calls Cyrus his anointed. And Frank, you know the Hebrew word for anointed is Mashiach, which is where we get our English word Messiah, which means anointed. Now, it doesn't mean that God is anointing a guy for pagan reasons, because Messiah, in Jesus' context, means an anointing for salvation. What this is saying is there, God has a political anointing given to a particular character, not based on their personality, character, or even faith, but that God says, I put up kings, I put down kings, everybody who's in a position of power, I put there. And so Isaiah names this character Cyrus. Now, here's the fascinating thing. Isaiah penned that prophecy, in Isaiah 150 years before Cyrus was even born. So 150 years later, here's this guy named Cyrus, who is over the Persian Empire, and apparently there was a Hebrew that walked up to him and said, hey, you know, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called you by name and says you have a particular calling and anointing. You're supposed to help us go home, back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and then to rebuild the temple. Mm. So that's where that all comes from. What's fascinating about that is that there are, again, not Christians, religious Jews who are saying our current president is a Cyrus of modern times. So, you know, when he got in office the first time, the first thing he does, he moves our embassy, which had been in Tel Aviv since 1995, but Congress voted in 1995, both Democrats and Republicans on both sides of the aisle said, no, we should recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Just like any other country gets to designate what their capital is, and Israel said our capital is Jerusalem. But they made a decision in 1995, okay, we made the resolution, we're going to move our embassy, but let's wait 6 months. Maybe peace will break out between Israel and the Palestinians. Well, every 6 months, they would kick the can down the proverbial road, and literally from 1995 until 2017, they kept doing that. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden now you have President Trump who basically said, look, this isn't my move. This isn't my idea. You guys decided this, Democrats and Republicans. He goes, what are you waiting for? They said, oh, World War III will break out if you do that. Right. And he goes, I don't think so. So anyway, he moves the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That just happened literally a few years ago. And guess what? It wasn't World War III. The world did not end. And now they're saying, look, he's not done. He's got more to do, and we believe this guy has a divine calling. So anyway, that's kind of the backdrop of a novel fiction story that's kind of woven into what's literally happening right now in Israel with the election and everything else that's going on. So that's kind of the 30,000-foot view.
Pastor
Sound
Ray,
interesting?
Oh, very much so. Pastor Ray Bentley is my guest author, co-author of the new book, The Cyrus Mandate, along with Bodie Taney. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at raybentley.com, maranathachapel.org. I'm on the church website. I see where you can order your copy today. Here's the question. There are, I won't say a lot, Ray, but there are some that say they're interested in prophecy and they have seminars or they have teachings. And my question always is, and I don't even know if it's a good question. How do we know, as followers of Christ, who we listen to that say they know a lot about prophecy? And what is it about prophecy that draws Pastor Ray Bentley so close to the gospel? Because I hold you as one of three that I know a lot about the area of prophecy. What is it about prophecy for you, and how do we know who to really listen to and who to go, well, they're really out there, because some can get really out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, Frank? That is a great question. And, you know, there's been many, you know, walking around with sandwich boards and making predictions that don't come true. And so, you know, they've thrown a lot of that into a bad, ill will attitude about things. But look, the big picture is, for me, you know, being a part of Calvary Chapel, we kind of teach through the Bible, literally from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I like to tell people, you know, if you go through the whole Bible, you know, chapter by chapter, I don't know if you realize this or not, but there's a lot of Jews in the Bible.
Right.
Did you know that, Frank?
Right.
They're everywhere. It starts with Abraham in Genesis, and in Revelation, they're still talking about the 12 tribes. So Israel, if you go through the Bible and you're a person into the Bible, Israel surfaces as, like, really important to God. And you find out that he made promises about this nation that have never happened to any other people. So literally, the prophecy explosion that happened in my generation, because the reason I got into prophecy is I got saved in 1967. I was 10 years of age.
Right.
And, you know, I went to a Billy Graham film, heard the gospel, went forward, gave my life to the Lord. And I thought, look, okay, if I go to my Nazarene church, I've got my youth group, I got my buddies, I live a good life, believe in Jesus, I die and go to heaven. I thought that was it. You know, that's it. But then one day, I'm looking at the headlines of the San Diego Union Tribune, and in big, bold letters is Israel, war. You know, it was, I go, wait, I thought we were, you know, I just got saved. I'm in junior high, and I said, I thought we were talking about guys in robes 2,000 years ago. Why is Israel on the front page of the newspaper? So at 10 years of age, I learned that, well, actually, there wasn't an Israel for 1,900 years. But that God had predicted and prophesied that in the latter years and in the latter days, just before the king and the kingdom would come from heaven to earth, God would miraculously regather his ancient people from the four corners of the earth, put them back in their land. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, that would become a focus of global geopolitics. Mm-hmm. So that's when I first learned, oh, Israel, I didn't know there was an Israel, and that's a fulfillment of prophecy, 2,500 years old. And now Jerusalem, you know, here's this six-day war. Who's ever heard of a war? I mean, we're still in Afghanistan, for crying out loud. And here's a war that lasted five nations against Israel 6 days?
Yep.
You know, this is crazy. And that's when Israel literally regained the Golan Heights to the north, the West Bank, controversial territory, the Gaza Strip, and most importantly, East Jerusalem, which is where the temple once stood in the days of Jesus. So all of a sudden, in the Six-Day War, even though I'm in junior high, I start hearing all these preachers on the radio going, hey, the Bible's coming to pass. This was predicted. This is a sign, you know. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. You mean Jesus could literally come back in my lifetime? Mm. So that ignited a fire in my heart. And I started reading, you know, I read, like millions of others, The Late Great Planet Earth,
sure.
which he was right on a lot of things, the big things. He was wrong on a few things, but he kind of got me going in that direction. And then through, you know, Pastor Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel, going through the Bible, I was like, wow, this is like really, this is legitimate. And so today we got the Cyrus Mandate coin in Israel with our president's picture on it with a guy named Cyrus from 2,500 years ago in the book of Isaiah, and people talking about, you know, what's going on now with the Abraham Accords. Now, we're not going back 2,500 years. Now we're going back 4,000 years ago. There's a peace deal between Israel, and all these Arab nations are lining up saying, now we want in on this. This has never happened, Frank. Never in the 7 years since Israel became a nation, let alone when there wasn't a nation. So we're living in unbelievable, unprecedented times, and so I wanted to write a story to kind of get people to take a look and say, hey, does the Bible have anything to say about this? Because this is historic, I believe it's prophetic, and it'll be a fun story for everybody to read and enjoy along the way.
And the book is called The Cyrus Mandate, co-authored Ray Bentley and Bodie Taney. You can get it at all the usual places. Ray, a question or two. I know you were going to come in studio, and I kind of sphered away from that. I didn't want you to drive all the way. But I do want to openly invite you to come up sometime where we can sit down for an hour and really get into prophecy and some of the things that are going on. I think that would be very interesting. I do have Al Mohler coming on in about 5 minutes, so I want to ask you one last question.
Sure.
And anything else you want to share. So as it applies to so much of what's going on now and the doom and gloom, and we hear people saying, well, I'm a Christian and I'm voting for Joe Biden. In other words, biblical illiteracy is alive and well. Speak to the times now. Anything you want to share for a few moments about prophecy and how indeed things are coming to pass like never before that you just alluded to. I'll obviously invite the listeners to please pick up the Cyrus Mandate. But what about now and what's going on in the world now?
Well, listen, I think that today, you know, as a pastor, I'm going to just encourage people real simply. Paul the Apostle wrote 2,000 years ago to a young man named Timothy. He was a disciple, and he said, look, I urge you, pray for all those who are in authority, you know, kings, governors, that we might lead peaceful and godly lives, that we might be able to win more people to Christ. Frank, I believe this is, for my lifetime, our lifetime, the most important election we've ever seen. And I don't feel like I have to tell people who to vote for. But as a pastor, I'm going to say, you get your Bible out and you look at the values that you believe in that are your core values, biblical values. We're not voting for personalities. We're not voting for people or individuals or what we like or dislike about them. There are issues and there are biblical values. So I would just encourage you to pray. And I believe if Paul were here today, he would urge every Christian to vote.
Yep.
He used his Roman citizenship for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe we should use our U.S. citizenship. Your voice counts. Your voice matters. Your opinion matters. As a Bible, hopefully literate person with biblical values, and you look at the issues and you see, okay, and it's an imperfect world. We're not voting for, you know, pastor. We're voting for a man but that man has to represent certain values and direction. So pray and vote. Use it for the glory of God, you know, because righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And I believe that this is so critical. What's about to happen, not only next week, and by the way, half of those in California that are Christian are not registered to vote. Half of those who are registered to vote don't vote. So I'm talking to the half who are registered, who are Christian. I urge you and implore you by the Lord Jesus, vote. Use your faith. Pray about it. I trust the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. But look, we're going into tumultuous times, let's just say, in 2021. We're not going back to normal. We're moving forward. But that's good news.
Amen. Pastor Ray Bentley is senior pastor of Maranatha Chapel in San Diego on Coastwood Road. MaranathaChapel.org is their website. Book 3 of the Elijah Chronicles is what we've been talking about, the Cyrus Mandate. Pastor Ray, as well as Bodie Taney. You can get it at RayBentley.com, MaranathaChapel.org, or Amazon, all the usual places. It's Book 3 of the Elijah Chronicles. And Ray, I'll follow up with you. Let's set up a time sometime in maybe the next month or 6 weeks, have you come up, sit down for an hour, and
I'd love to
talk about these very exciting times we live.
Sounds great, Frank. Thank you, and God bless you, man.
God bless you, too. Ray Bentley, MaranathaChapel.org is their website. Al Mohler has written a commentary at albertmohler.com. It's entitled Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Election. Albert will be my guest next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We are literally 1 week away from the presidential elections. Many of us are concerned about the country and so much that's going on in the world, and yet we find ourselves literally in unprecedented times. My next guest blogs regularly at albertmohler.com. He is a theologian, one of our best, I might add. He's an ordained minister, and he is currently president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Albert Mohler has written a piece on his website called Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Elections. Dr. Mohler, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, as always, it's great to be with you.
It is so good to hear your voice. It's been a long time, and yet I want to get right to the heart of why we have you on. And obviously, these are the final days of an election. We've been hearing reports millions of Americans have already voted, and you've written this piece on your website. Talk a little bit about why you wrote this, and then I'll throw a few questions your way because I know time is very limited.
Yeah, I wanted to write the article, Frank, just to kind of express my heart and mind about the Christian conscience and the 2020 election, because there's just so much going on out there. And a part of it is that I had not voted for Donald Trump in 2016. I couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. That was beyond imagination. But I just couldn't bring myself to vote for Donald Trump because of the character issues and how I had had to take a stand against those with Bill Clinton earlier. But I have voted for Donald Trump in 2020, and I very much hope for his reelection. And so I wanted to set out in Christian terms my heart and mind to try to help explain that to other Christians, most importantly.
Now, there are thousands of self-identified Christians right now that may be going to vote for the current president, maybe voting for Joe Biden, which I'll be quiet. I have plenty of time sharing my thoughts on that on my program. But share the difference, if you would, whether it's from a platform, whether it's personality, and why would you go from not voting from Donald Trump in 2016 to voting for him now?
Well, I've been involved in as a theologian and Christian in public policy and in politics for my entire adult life. Started working for Ronald Reagan when I was 16 years old in 1976. And so my big question in 2016 was whether Donald Trump, given all the liabilities, would do what he said he would do. But astoundingly, he's not only done what he said he would do, especially in defense of human life, in policies and in appointments to the federal judiciary and the Supreme Court, he's gone beyond what he said he would do in 2016. And so what I was dealing with in 2016 was someone who had been pro-choice and liberal on so many issues. And I didn't believe that he was actually going to support the pro-life cause. But he's turned out to be the most consequential pro-life president in American history. And so that has required me to realign my thinking in 2020.
Now, I urge all the listeners to read your commentary, albertmohler.com. Again, it's entitled Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Election. For those that have a reactionary mindset listening to what you've said so far, they may go, oh, I get it. He just somehow overlooks all the character flaws of the current president. And if there's ever a piece by which you hold him accountable, it's in this commentary that you shared.
Yeah, I think I'm very, very candid about the president's character shortcomings. But, you know, a part of what Christians have to think about, and again, I'm a Christian theologian. I've been thinking through these issues for decades. Policy and character are related. So as I said in my article, I just cannot accept the premise that a calm man who supports the destruction, the dismemberment of a human baby in the womb has a superior character to someone who rants like Genghis Khan but would protect the life of that unborn child. I don't buy that deal. I don't believe that someone who holds to the policies of Joe Biden has good character. He might be as I say in my article, I might prefer him as a next-door neighbor just because the neighborhood would be more quiet. But I cannot accept that definition of character that says you can support the destruction of human babies in the womb and, for that matter, the entire moral revolution unraveling the family and gender like Joe Biden does. That's a character issue.
As you talk about some of Joe Biden's positions that he stated, let's spend a moment on just recently at a town hall appearance when the issue of transgender came up. He fell all over himself, if I'm misrepresenting, correct me, about the idea of somehow supporting young children, somehow saying, well, I'm not really a boy, I'm a girl. And he talked about discrimination, and it was a telling moment for me, one of many, by which, how can a Christian vote for this man?
Well, that was one of the creepiest moments I've seen in recent politics, Frank. I mean, here you had a 78-year-old man talking about the gender identity or sexuality of an 8- and 10-year-old child, and furthermore, throwing all moral sanity overboard in saying that he would support that child transitioning gender. I mean, that is one of the most radical ideas in all of human history. But now it's the orthodoxy of the Democratic Party.
And there was a time not that long ago where that position by mainstream thought would be radical. Like virtually no one in our society would even embrace that for a moment, let alone now how the left has gone so much farther to the left and say this is part of the sexual revolution.
This goes so far beyond any normal politics. We now have one party that is arguing that someone who's a biological male can be called a female and have access regardless of age. Remember, he's talking about 8- and 10-year-old children. And he said when he said zero discrimination, he means that the entire society is now coerced to accept this idea that gender has nothing to do with biological sex. you know, I think American voters, and particularly American Christian voters, had better understand we're not talking about a normal zone of politics anymore.
And also, if we may, and then I want to circle back as we close and again emphasize, read your commentary. You are not one that gives the president any carte blanche when it comes to character. You've been very vocal about your concern and your outrage by some of the way in which he acts, but it's a piece that needs to be read. So let's talk a moment, if we will, about recently you hear something, a group called Evangelicals for Biden. Like somehow they're pro-life evangelicals and they're in the mindset of voting for the former vice president. Can we unpack that for a moment? Does that make any sense at all?
Well, it only makes sense. And the fact that you've got some more liberal people who want to be identified as evangelicals who are going to sell us out on the abortion and life issues. And look, I've been at this a long time, Frank. So you take one of the individuals behind that. I'm old enough to remember that he was the founder of Evangelicals for McGovern in 1972.
Yep.
So in other words, these are just basically liberal Democrats. And let's remember, George McGovern was perhaps the most liberal Democrat to run in the history of the Democratic Party to that time. And so this isn't new. It's just more of the same. And frankly, we're going to have a redefinition of a lot of these terms. And we need to remind ourselves that an evangelical who's going to say it makes sense as a pro-life evangelical to support the most radically pro-abortion administration that would come with Biden and Harris in American history, that's just insane.
And to even bless abortion clinics.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a Democratic Party right now that will accept absolutely no restriction on abortion whatsoever, will support abortion, whether it's for sex selection or for gender selection, I mean, or because of Down syndrome diagnosis or for any reason or for no reason at all. That's what the stakes are right now. That's what we're looking at.
Dr. Albert Mohler's my guest. One question or two remaining. In the many areas we can talk about, I want to talk a bit about racism. Black voters in America, you write about this issue in your piece at albertmohler.com. What about those of us that say we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and yet the issue of racism seems to be such a prominent one and a volatile one these days?
Well, it is, and it breaks our heart. And we have to recognize that we've got a ton of work to do. And so as a society, we've got, and as a Christian church, we've got a ton of work to do. And there are these divides have a history, Frank. And as you know, that's a big part of this. And so we've got to work through a lot of these questions, but we can't do it as if we ignore these other issues. And we have to deal with all of it at once. And no one says it's easy, but that's what we've got to do.
And it's obvious that we share the same conviction and common faith in Christ above all. And yet there's so much dissension, so much disruption around this. Last question, and I know you have to go. Let us circle back and talk about next Tuesday, about being a self-identified Christian or a follower of Jesus. Talk about the importance of voting and what we literally have at our hands right now by which this will shape a generation to come and will define the future of our country, how we vote next Tuesday.
You know, Frank, I want to throw the issue of religious liberty in on this. We're looking at an inevitable collision between the moral revolutionaries and the ever-expansive power of government and religious liberty. And Donald Trump has defended religious liberty. He's done so internationally through a State Department. He's done so here in the United States. And, you know, Christians, if that were the only issue, then it's not. But if that were the only issue, it has a lot to do with whether or not our children and grandchildren will know the freedom to preach the gospel, whether or not you can be a Christian in the public square. Those are very live issues right now. And that's at stake on Tuesday. But all of this is at stake all at once.
Dr. Albert Mohler is a theologian. I add one of the best today, without a doubt. He's also president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has a thought-provoking commentary you all need to read up at albertmohler.com. It's entitled Christians, Conscience, and the Looming 2020 Election. Please read it. Please read it at albertmohler.com. It's good to hear from you, Doctor. I pray you are well, and we will maybe, schedules permitting, talk on the other side of this historic election that we find in our midst in about a week or so. God bless you, and thank you for spending time with us today, Al.
Thanks, Frank. Always an honor to be with you. God bless you.
You as well. We will continue in a few moments. I want to break down a little bit about what Dr. Mohler and I just shared, maybe even read a bit of his commentary. But again, wherever you fall on this issue, please go to albertmohler.com, read it for yourself. For those of you that have your mind made up, oh, he's a conservative, he's a Trump supporter, you will be surprised at the insights that Dr. Mohler share about character and a lot of other things as well. And we are at a crossroads. I absolutely believe we're at a crossroads in our country right now. And religious freedom is at the forefront of being called into question right now. And if you don't understand that, if you don't see that, at the very least, read Dr. Mohler's commentary at albertmohler.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. My thanks to Dr. Albert Mohler and Pastor Ray Bentley for spending time with us. You are more than welcome to go to our website to hear the entire podcast of this program. And let me just say this in terms of the interview I just did with Al Mohler. I get so many emails from people that say that, well, I listen to your program and you're so one-sided. Let me read a little bit of what Al Mohler says about our current president. I'm quoting. I'll try to summarize how I see the issues, trying my best to think and act consistent with my own Christian convictions and worldview. There is the question of character. I have had to struggle with this question through about a half a century of political engagement. In the case of Donald Trump, the reality is that he is sadly deficient in many of the most crucial issues of character and moral virtue. He has bragged about many of his vices, written books promoting them, and given full vent to some of the baser instincts of the body politic. He appears to be driven by a narcissistic impulse that overrides nearly every opportunity to demonstrate moral virtues in public. He has been married to three women and has bragged about infidelity. He is divisive, arrogant, vitriolic, and sometimes cruel. Now, before I get into his observation about Joe Biden, for the lies that are promoted, that somehow those that support the current president give him a free pass, I say that is an absolute lie. And just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. As a matter of fact, that position is becoming more and more popular. Lies are promoted as truth, but that does not make them true. So here's Al Mohler. Did not vote for the president in 2016, has already voted for him now. And if that's not a scathing overview of his thoughts on the character of the current president, I don't know what to tell you. Then he says, Joe Biden is generally cooler in temperament. And like Trump, he is also known to Americans. Biden is the essence of a career politician. He has survived this long by being a part of the system, including years of Democratic Party service as a senator and vice president. His principles have been, well, flexible, but he has served his party dutifully. His commitment to a liberal direction of the country has been clear, even if sometimes calculated. As a chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he personally oversaw the destruction of Judge Robert Bork in confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court. He had to drop out of the 1988 race for the Democratic nomination when he was caught telling someone else's stories as his own. He seems repeatedly to have trouble telling the truth, and he surrenders to the rising leftist wing of his own party while claiming to be a moderate. More importantly, he is an enthusiastic champion of many of the most wretched policies that threaten the moral survival of our nation. Do we really want to be informed? Or do we just want to take the easy way out? I mentioned this on the program yesterday. I can't vote for either one. Look, I respect that position more. And if you want to take me to task, if you want to comment, the phone lines are wide open. 888-528-2557. I respect the position more. I can't vote for either versus I'm Christian and I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I just, for the life of me, maybe you say you're Christian, but you don't follow the Bible. Progressive Christianity is alive and well, otherwise known as theological liberalism. There are some that say they're Christian, but they don't really know even what that means. If you're Christian, I would think that the current president, as Al Mohler said, look, I didn't vote for him. He's got a lot of character flaws. When he got elected, he said he was going to do certain things. I didn't think he would do them, but he's done it. He's been the most effective pro-life president of the modern age. He's done what he said he was going to do. But again, oh no, no, he's this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. Here's the last thing I'll say about Al Mohler's commentary. Of the 7 pages, I read this 3 times last night, highlighted a lot. I only had 10 minutes with Al. He actually began the interview with the quote in this piece that I highlighted above all. I cannot accept the argument that a calm man, Joe Biden, who affirms the dismembering of babies in the womb, has a superior character to a man who rants like Genghis Khan, but acts to preserve that life. I heard earlier today, 80 million people have voted. It was 20, then 30, then 50, now 80. Now, I'm not going to go the way of conspiracy theory. I have a healthy distrust for basically anything the mainstream media says. Do I have reason to doubt that 80 million people have voted? Not really. But do we really want to be informed? Do we want to be literate? This seems to be the ongoing dilemma of the human species. It's easy to be emotional. We live in a day and age of secular humanism, and our feelings are so important. Our feelings? Seriously? This is the higher moral standard? Even as people that say they're Christian, then the truth of the Bible, you as a Christian, you're going to vote for a guy who said, yeah, I think an 8-year-old should be allowed to determine, well, if he's a boy and he feels like he's a girl. Oh, absolutely. And you don't give that a second thought? Or a man that clearly stands on the side of abortion. And I haven't even gotten into Kamala Harris and her record. You may not know that the president pardoned somebody recently. Do you know that story? And I realize it's one person. But why he served an extensive time in prison for a nonviolent drug offense? A drug offense that, well, let's just say, those on the left that say they're for the oppressed, they're the ones that pushed these policies decades ago. Please be informed. Please vote. And don't vote your feelings or vote from a biblical perspective. You don't have to like either one. The Bible is filled with jacked up people that God used. And literally the first chapter of the Bible that I read when I became a follower of Jesus was Ephesians chapter 6. You know that one. All about putting on the full armor of God and spiritual warfare. If you don't see the warfare that's going on right now, I would love to spend some time with you and have dialogue with you. Evil does not even hide itself anymore. And if you don't have the spiritual lens to see lies presented as truth, again, I'd love to spend some time with you and have a dialogue with you. Thank you for listening to this. This is the Frank Sontag Show.